Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
Well, I'm so glad you tuned in today, and the Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm sitting in the studio, and the window, there's a large window here, and you look out over the beautiful scenery there, but the blinds are closed right now. And that's the way it is for many people. There is beautiful scenery, the creation that God has made, but they don't see God in it. And so we want to talk about today the evidence and the proof of God. I was talking to fellows in the Bible Institute where I teach, and he said that one of the people that he was talking to wanted to know about the proof, if there's any factual proof for believing in God. And so that's what we want to talk about today. And atheism has said that faith basically is a leap in the dark. But that is not true. And in fact, it is totally false. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, there is a definition of faith. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is all the beliefs and teaching about Jesus Christ that we hope for, and the evidence of things not seen. And so it is the evidence that God has given to us about Christ. We don't see him personally, but God has given us a tremendous amount of evidence. In fact, the proof and evidence of God and of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that God said that he is going to judge mankind on what they do with that evidence and that proof that he has given to them. And how could he really judge man for rejecting Christ if there is no proof or evidence for it whatsoever? Well, I don't think God would be fair if he would judge man for rejecting Christ when there is no proof or no evidence for believing in him. But the Bible teaches us that God has given us proof and evidence. And so the belief in Christ or the rejection of him is a moral choice. When a person rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, they are making a moral rejection. And it is a sin, and it is the ultimate sin that God will reject them because they have in reality rejected the Lord. But we want to talk about that evidence first for God and then the evidence and proof for believing in Jesus Christ. Now, we see then that, as we have already mentioned in this verse, that our faith, the very definition of faith, is evidence. It's proof. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, it says that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And we will be talking about that in a few minutes. But the proof in God then is so strong that he will judge each individual on the basis of whether they accepted Jesus Christ, because God has given us so much proof. Now, today in the ideas that are being inculcated in universities and schools and in the newspaper media and so on is every religion is equally true. Well, you could just say these religions, they do not all agree with each other. So basically, you could say that they're also that they're all equally false. That is not a biblical idea that there are many roads to God and that they're all equally true. In fact, they don't even talk sometimes about the same thing. For instance, Confucianism, basically, Confucius was a Chinese philosopher, and he taught about how people are to treat one another. In other words, he taught about how you're to treat your parents and your parents treat you as a child and so on. So he gave laws for life, but it did not deal with actually knowing God. And then there's Buddhism, and Buddha was a, a young man, and his parents wanted to protect him from the sickness and the sorrow and death that was around him. And he was a prince, and he was in a castle, and they had a big wall around it. But one day, as a curious teenager, he and his friend jumped over the wall, went over the wall, and for the first time, he saw old people, he saw sick people, he saw suffering and sorrow. And so his life was consumed with the idea as to how to have the least amount of suffering and pain. And he developed his philosophy based on that. So he was a philosopher. And in reality, they did not worship him until Christianity came into India in the first century. And you have Hinduism. And in Hinduism, they worship many gods, and they worship images and idols and so on like that. And we know that some of these images were representing spirits behind these images. But they follow, and they have many, many gods. And then you have the Muslim religion, and it is based on the soul philosophies and ideas of a man named Muhammad. And we look at the life of Muhammad, and the Bible says, Jesus himself says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And when we look at his life and look at his fruits, and even look at the fruits today of the Muslim religion, it tells us where the truth is. And of course, we don't believe the truth is there. And they have to enforce it by terror and by the sword and so on. You know, we see that today. That's why many hundreds of thousands of Muslims are turning to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have atheism. And atheism is taught through evolution, which is a creation myth that they teach and is based on no evidence whatsoever. And atheism says there is no God. I asked an atheist one time, I said, well, how do you know there's no God unless you've been everywhere in the universe at the same time, or unless you have been in every dimension at the same time? And he could not answer that. Our knowledge of the universe as human beings is very, very limited. And yet many atheists will say, well, we know that there's life out there. Well, how do we know that that life out there is not the God that created us? So they're basing, once again, they're basing religion on something that they cannot prove. But Christianity is based on proof. And here's some of the proof that the Bible basically gives for our belief in God. And we're going to study that today. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, it states this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. So God has showed the revelation of himself to the whole world. And here is the proof. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, we know that we don't see protons and neutrons going around, electrons going around the atom. We don't see those molecules with our open eyes, but we know that they're there. But it says, being understood by the things that are made. Now, here's what man knows about God: his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, when we look up into the heavens, we see that there is something up there, or someone up there that has tremendous power. That's the first thing we see that is an evidence of God. And the second thing we see is his Godhead. And that is, in the creation, we see that there is intelligence. Now, atheism would try to educate man out of this, and some philosophers would try to educate man out of this, but the leaders of modern science, practically all of them, believed in God, and they believed that Jesus Christ was the creator of the universe. And so creation shows that there's a God. Now, let's talk about his power. For instance, they teach the Big Bang, and there's some truth to that. When Jesus Christ spoke the universe into existence, at that time it happened all of a sudden, and possibly there was a great bang. But, you know, if you have an explosion today, all it turns into is a pile of rubble. And when they blow up a building, they put explosives all around, and when they blow it up, there's just a pile of rubble. But we see in the stars that they're moving within a fraction of a second. And they're moving at different locations, at different speeds, But these speeds can be calculated, and they, scientists, can tell you where these stars were thousands of years ago because they're moving in a fraction of a second. Now, who set that whole thing into operation? Well, it shows the power of God. And you look out there, you get on a telescope, and I haven't seen one except for a small one, but I mean, I've seen pictures of the universe, and it is absolutely awesome when we look at that universe. And so we see that there's a God that has an incredible amount of power out there, and it makes us look like tiny specks. And so man sees that there is a supreme being, that there is a God that is absolutely powerful. When he looks into the universe and sees this whole mechanism moving within a fraction of a second. And the World Tells Time by Greenwich, England time, where they put a telescope on the stars. And those stars moving in a fraction of a second, upheld by the word of God. And so we see his power. But then we see evidence of his Godhead. And your head is what is where your intelligence is. And we see that there is an intelligent being, because the everything in our universe, everything in this world is interacting, and it's planned, and we can see design everywhere. For people not to see design, the atheists have to indoctrinate children from an early age to teach them against intelligent design. Everything in the universe shows intelligence of design. And if you have intelligence to design, you have an intelligent creator. And so the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You see all types of animals, all types of fish. And they have fish, for instance, that they have taken and put in a bucket, you know, and taken them on a plane to the Pacific Ocean and taken these fish from England. And these fish will swim all the way back to England from the Pacific Ocean. And you see birds that would fly thousands of miles, and they will do this every year. And you see these incredible designs put into nature. And nature shows that there is an intelligent designer. When Darwin put out his book, at that time, he thought that a molecule was just a very simple thing. And yet today we know that one molecule has more factories in it than all the factories of the world combined. And these factories have all types of chemicals. And these chemicals are moved around by microscopic machines, even with propellers on the machines to move the chemicals in these microscopic machines. And so we see that everything has this design. For instance, we breathe air, but if God had not put the air, we could not have survived. We see if we were closer to the sun that we would be burned up and there'd be no life. And if we were farther away, we would all be frozen and so there would be no life. And yet everything in our universe shows millions of things like this that are designed by God. Intelligent design is scientific. To say that it is just a series of accidents is absolutely crazy. We don't know, for instance, we don't see any planets that have partial development. Only on this planet we see incredible development. And so it is an evidence and proof of that there is an intelligent being, there is an intelligent God that has all power. Our program is to uphold the Bible as the Word of God, and the King James Bible in particular. And as we have said over and over again, 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts back up the King James Bible, and that is in the New Testament. It's translated from the Greek, and then in the Old Testament from the Hebrew Masoretic text, and they found copies of this in the Dead Sea Scrolls from hundreds of years before Christ. And our King James is based on that in the Old Testament. Now, in the modern versions, and I believe that they are counterfeits, like the NIV, the New American Standard Version, Revised Standard, and so on, they're based on less than 1% of the manuscripts. And the problem here is that they leave out the names of Jesus 100 times in the New Testament, like Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, God, are eliminated from these Bibles. For instance, in Romans 1, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, that's in the King James, but in the modern ones, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, there's many gospels out there today. So today, if you call in, I have a paper that will show where the exact references, and you could get this paper. I'll send it to you if you call in and give me your address, and we will send you this paper. And it'll show you the 100 places where Jesus Christ is taken out of his own Bible. And imagine that, the one that created the universe and made the Bible and warns us for changing the Word of God. He's taken out in these versions or perversions of the Scripture, 100 places. And that's why we have this program, so we can bring out the truth of where God's Word really is. And we will give you one of these, and you can take those that copy, make copies of it if you want to go in a convenient store and you want to make copies and give to your friends. And you can check it out in your own Bible to see if the Bible that you're using has these names of Jesus. Now, this is just the names of Jesus in the New Testament alone. Now, so we would like to hear from you. Our number is 901-0933, and I believe they'll repeat it at the end of the program. 901-0933, that's the local number. And the long distance number is 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. By the way, if you'd like to help us in this program, you realize with the internet, and it is on the internet, this can be heard almost anywhere in the world where they have a computer. And that's really an amazing thing. And it covers a long distance here. We're now on in Lynchburg, Virginia, and Roanoke, Virginia also. So if you are a believer in the King James Bible, the Word of God, you'd like to help us, we could use that help. And we will even send you a book if you send us something. We have a book, Which Version is God's Word, by Floyd Nolan Jones. And it's gone through about 19 publications and explains what is being taught to preachers in the schools, but his defense of the King James. All right, we're going to go back and mention proofs of Christ. And our faith is based on evidence, and it is based on proof. Atheism says faith is like a leap in the dark, and they have the proof. Well, they don't have any proof, and that's why atheistic evolutionists will not debate creationists. You can't pay them to do it. And I know they had a creationist speak at Kent State University about 2 years ago. And he, as always, invited the atheist, the evolutionist, to come out and debate him. And, of course, none of them came from the whole Cleveland-Akron area because he would show them that there is no proof for this nonsense. But our Bible gives us proof, and we have evidence and proof for God. Now, the Bible says if we want to come to God, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if you want to know God, if you want to find him, you can find him. God has promised you that if you believe in him and you want to know him personally, that he is available, that you can find him if you diligently seek him. You have to go after him, and he will reveal himself to you. We only have a few minutes, but I want to mention a few things about proof for Jesus Christ. Now, if we have a God that created the heavens and the earth, certainly this God has communicated to mankind. Why would he put us here, leave us in dark, or leave us guessing about why we're here, where we came from, where we're going, and how to please God? And so he has given us a Bible, the oldest book ever written. It's 66 books by 66 prophets that taught things that would happen in their day for them, and they had to have it happen in their day, and it came true. And then they would predict and they prophesied about Jesus Christ. They prophesied about Jesus' birth. Isaiah 7:14 says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. They prophesied about where he's going to be born, Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This one that was born in Bethlehem was from of old, from everlasting. He always was. He was the Creator God. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 26 actually teaches that the exact date when he would come. When he came on Palm Sunday, it was exactly 483 years after the order to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which Daniel predicted would happen 500 years or nearly 600 years before Christ came. He gave the exact time and date that he'd come. And so Jesus Christ came just as he promised that he would come. And so Jesus, the Bible predicts his death in Isaiah 53, and you ought to read that chapter. You ought to memorize it. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so it talks about him dying for our sins in Isaiah 53, 600 years before Christ. And then it talks about the resurrection of Christ. And the prophet, King David, said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And Jesus said when he was on the earth, he said, I will physically and bodily die. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. I will bodily rise from the dead. And so our faith is based on proof. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.